thank God for my salvation. I know last week I shared on my testimony. I was 17 years old when I gave my life to God, and it was the best thing, the best decision I've ever made in my life. And I thank God for saving me, for rescuing me. I know that last week I spoke about how God brought me out of a life of being emotionally damaged, you know, growing up in a broken family, growing up insecure, growing up not feeling that love or security. And I desired that, you know, but one day I gave my life to God and my life has never been the same. Amen. I made a decision to serve Him with all of my heart for the rest of my life. Amen. And I thank God for that. Amen. So before I get started with my message, the three chairs here represent certain areas or certain parts that we go through when we go through the process of serving God. So after we get saved and you know, we're trying to learn the things of God, we're being discipled, there are three different things that take place. And one place is where we shouldn't be, and this is in the world. Okay, so there's a black line right here that separates Jesus and the world. Okay, Jesus and the devil. Okay, so this chair represents the world, and some of us sit in this chair and we're stuck because we're in the world. And I know that for me, that's where I came from. I was stuck in this chair. It was like I was chained to the chair and I couldn't move. Amen. I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't do nothing because I was stuck in the world. And this chair represents living a double life, you know, being one foot in, one foot out, not making that decision to serve Him or to, you know, to get surrender fully to Him. It was like, it's an area where we don't know yet, you know, we're still like in or out, you know. And this chair is where we should be, and this is where God wants us to be. Amen. And I believe that that's where I'm at today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Prayfully. Amen. I still got areas that I need to grow in. I still have flaws. I'm not perfect, but God, I'm striving. And I know that I desire Jesus. I desire more of Him. Amen. If we could all turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. And when you get there, say, praise Jesus. I took that from Brother Sunny. But as you're turning there, I also want to thank our youth leader, Brother Matt, for giving me this opportunity. Also my pastors, Pastor Tony and Sister Veto. I love my pastors. I said that last week, but I have such a love for my pastors, and I want to back them up, and I want to keep them in prayer, you know, as a youth gang. Let's keep our pastors and their family in prayer. Amen. I love our pastors. And I also want to thank Brother Sunny and Brother Victor, also Sister Crystal, my partner, amen, my BFF, amen, best friends forever. That's God placed her in my life at just the perfect time, amen, and I thank God for her. So if we're all there, I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Amen. And what that scripture is saying is that we need to throw off our old sinful ways, you know, our old ways of living, our old lifestyle, our old habits. We need to throw those off and put on the new nature that God has given us. Amen. And I heard this example. I went to the Victory Outreach Oakland Church when I was in Oakland, and I remember the pastor was preaching, and he was saying it's like wearing a white shirt that's stained up with dirt, and it's black, and it's just dirty, and it has holes, and it's ripped. It's like walking around the mall wearing that. Like, we wouldn't do that, would you? I know I wouldn't. Would you guys do that? Would you walk in the mall with the dirty white shirt, all like holes, and not by choice, right? We wouldn't do that. And that's what it's saying. We got to take off our old sinful ways, like we would take off a dirty shirt and put on a new one, put on that a new nature that God has given us to be truly righteous and holy. Amen. And I know that in this place that God desires us to be that way, that all of the youth, that all of the gang girls and gang warriors, that we put on our new nature, amen, that he has given us. And there's people in this place that desire to be used by God. I know I'm one of them. You know, I desire to be used by God. I know we feel that, man, that God has called us. We know God has called us, that he chose us, that, man, one day I want to be a preacher. One day I want to be a gang girl leader. One day I want to go get sent out and be a missionary or be an evangelist or disciple or help or back up my pastors. I want to do that. Amen. And those desires are all great desires, and God honors those things. In Timothy, it says those who desire a leadership position desires an honorable position, a noble position. So it's great when we're desiring to be holy, amen, to be used by God. It's a great desire, amen. And God's desire for us is to be great, amen. But there are things that we need to let go of. Through the process, God begins to show us areas that we need to let go of. Begins to show us things that we still hold on to, that we need to cut loose, amen? And sometimes some of us, we're stuck in this chair where we're stuck here, where we're being violent, amen? We're fighting. I know that there's gangs here in Hawaii, so some of us might be in gangs or angry all the time or violent or prideful. Some of us are addicted to Chris Brown and Rihanna and Eminem and Lil Wayne and all those worldly music. And I'll tell you this, I used to love worldly music. I love music. I love to sing. I can't sing. It's one of my goals. Amen. Sister Regina, it's one of my goals. So prayfully God will bless me. Amen. But I love singing. I love music. I love to worship God. But when I wasn't saved, I loved worldly songs. I had a song for every emotional moment of my life. You can even ask Matt. If I was sad, I had a sad song I would listen to. If I was mad, I had an angry song. If I was mad at someone, it would be on my answering machine. I know one time I had that Beyonce song, "To the Left, To the Left." You know that song? I had that on my answering machine because that's how I felt. Like, I would have a song for every emotion that I felt, you know? And I love worldly music. But I'll tell you this, young people, worldly music, it leads us astray from God. And some people think, no, I just like the beat. I used to use that excuse when I first got saved. Oh, I just like the beat. It's not cussing. No, but it would make me feel like I would want to, you know, nowadays the songs are talking about what? Drugs, money, and sex. That's all. Violence. That's all it's talking about. That's it, you know? And if you really look at the lyrics, that's all they're saying. So when you're, you know, dancing to that worldly music and you're singing it, you're agreeing to those things. It's like you're cool with that. You're cool with being in sin because that's all they sing about is being in sin and loving it, you know? So worldly music, some of us are alcohol or like to drink, you know, and that's a lifestyle that I was brought out of by God, was that I used to love to drink. I love to drink. And some of us, this is a bouquet. And it represents relationships, okay? So it's not always roses, okay, in red. Sometimes guys give bouquets. So this is a bouquet, so it represents relationships. And some of us are in relationships where they're ungodly, you know? When we're lusting over someone that's not serving God, you know, that's sin. That's sin. And so all these things we do and we're bounded by, because they're all sin, leads us farther and farther from Jesus. And what it does is it takes us far from God, and we begin to be trapped here. And that's where God does not want us to be, and that's where we shouldn't be, amen? That's where we shouldn't be. And I think God that he brought me out of that lifestyle, amen? And that's what I had to do. When I gave my life to God, I was saying no more relationships, no more alcohol, no more worldly music, no more anger, because I wasn't in a gang, but I had a lot of anger, so no more anger. I had to cut all these things loose, amen? But then I found myself in a place where I didn't know, you know, I didn't know if I really wanted to do this, or did I still had a love for the world, you know, I was in that place. And these things happen in a process. While we're going through a process, I know that I felt, ma'am, when I was in this place, I felt like I was there because I felt like I wasn't going to be good enough. I was going to fail over there anyways because I failed in other things, you know. So that's why I didn't want to completely give my life to God, because I didn't really understand the commitment, but I knew that it was a great commitment, you know. But I didn't understand all the things that I would have to do, you know, because I didn't know about serving God. But I was confused, you know. And sometimes the enemy, he likes to keep us there in a state where we're confused, where we don't know, you know, if we want to serve him all the way, or man, we still have love for the world, but we need to cut those things loose, because those things are going to lead us astray. Those things are going to, when we're struggling right here and we still have, you know, attachments here, what it's going to do is it's going to pull us farther from God. When we start getting angry and we start sinning in our anger, we take a step away from God. Then we put that worldly song on, a step away from God. Then we start drinking, a step away from God. Then we start lusting, a step away from God. And it draws us farther and farther from God. And that's not where God desires us to be, amen. He desires us to be leaders. He desires us to be world shakers. We're called, amen. Our ministry is not a ministry that raises up people that are sellouts, or people that, man, we don't know what to do. No, our ministry raises up world shakers. We raise up generation generals, but we're going to have to cut these things loose. Amen. And God, he chose us. He chose us knowing our weaknesses. He chose us knowing the lifestyle that he was going to bring us out of. He chose us despite our struggles. You know, he knows everything that we go through. But like Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Amen. "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize." Amen. So he was saying, that no, I haven't achieved it yet. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not here yet. But you know what? One thing I focus on is forgetting all this and heading towards going forward, pressing on to reach the goal that Jesus Christ is going to give us. Amen. In heaven. Amen. And that's how we got to be. We got to know that, man, we're not going to be perfect. You know, we might not achieve, you know, all these things, but you know what? We got to press on and focus on Jesus. Amen. And we got to focus on forgetting the past and going forward in our life. Amen. Not being stuck, not being complacent, not being all over here, oh, I don't know what to do. No, we need to make that decision if we're going to serve God or not. Amen. And it's a serious decision. It's a serious decision. And I know sometimes it's hard because of the different things we go through, but it's a decision that we all have to make. Amen. We all have to make that decision. I know that here in the island and everywhere, there's a religious spirit. A religious spirit is when people will go to church and they're like, yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Oh, youth night, yeah, I go to youth night. Thursday event service, yeah. But all throughout the week, you're cussing up a storm. You're drinking. You're partying. You're selling drugs, whatever. You're doing all these things and you're not living a holy life. Amen. And we can't be living lives like that. We can't be living a double life like that, because when we do that, we're not gonna break those bondages that we have. We're not gonna be healed from those insecurities like I was talking about last week, or whatever issues we struggle with. We're not gonna be healed of that if we're still over here living a double life. Amen. God, he wants all of us. He wants all of us, and he wants to use us to impact other lives. He wants to use you to intercede for your family. He wants to use you to touch the lives at your school. But how is he gonna use you if you're here at church in the nighttime, and then at school, you're a different person. You're a different person. A lot of people get turned off. A lot of people in our generation don't even want to come to church. They're like, oh, no, thank you. Or they're like, oh, I believe in God. It's cool, you know. Oh, and then we'll tell them, well, you know, it's cool that you believe in God, but you got to come. You got to come and experience his presence, be around godly people, fellowship. And they're like, why? My parents, a pastor, and they don't do that. They drink, you know, and they say it's cool, you know. So we're living in a time where man, a lot of people are living double lives, that they say that they're Christians and they say that they serve God, but they're living a whole nother life. Amen. And we can't be like that. We can't be like that. If we desire God to use us, to raise us up, to be leaders in our generation, then we need to cut off that other life, that plan B life. Amen. Amen. The third seat is where God wants us to be, where we need to be. Amen. And I remember when I first got saved that I started to read the Bible. And for me, it was hard for me to read the Bible because I didn't like reading. I wasn't a good comprehender. So I didn't like readings, but I had leaders in my life that would text me scriptures and I would be like, what? Like, what does that mean? And they would explain it to me. Leaders that would teach me how to pray. And it's important that I know that we always say you need to read, you need to read, you need to pray, you need to pray. But really, we need to read and pray. That's how we grow our relationship with Jesus. Amen. The Bible is how God speaks to us. When we read, we read scriptures, and God, he shows us things. He teaches us how we need to live our lives. Amen. And we need to understand that praying is how we communicate with God. Amen. It's how we tell God, man, I love you, God. Or God, God knows our heart. You know, he knows what we go through. But it's where we're communicating with him, you know, where we're loving Jesus. Amen. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be intimate with him. Amen. And we can't take that lightly. I remember I was so hungry for God. Like, I would always read my Bible when I first got saved. I would read it, and my mother-in-law bought me my first Bible, and I loved it. I still have it, but I loved my Bible, and I would always read it and read it, and there's different translations, so I had the NLT, which was really easy for me, so I would always read it, and I remember that every time God would speak to me, because he would speak to me through his word a lot, and I would feel like, oh, that was for me, you know, that scripture, man, that's what I'm going through, that's for me, God spoke to me, you know. And I remember this one particular time that one of the girls texted me a scripture, and it was Jeremiah 1:5, and I remember calling Brother Matt, and I remember telling him, oh my gosh, she gave me a scripture, this is what it said. And then he was like, oh, that's cool, what scripture was it? And I told him, and then he was like, okay, I'm gonna call you back. So he called me back later, and he was like, yeah, I called Matt Brenner, and I gave it to him, I called so-and-so, and I remember feeling like, that was for me, that was my scripture, like, how dare you go around and tell people that scripture that God gave me, because I didn't understand, but because it was so personal to me, you know, because it really touched my heart, that I felt like it was mine, you know. But God, he speaks to us through the word. Amen. And it's important that we read the word and we apply what he says to our lives. Amen. In Joshua chapter 1, it says to meditate on the word day and night, on my instructions, because that's how you'll be successful. Amen. When you're meditating on the word and you're applying it and you're studying it, that's how we're going to grow in the things of God. Amen. Number 2, I placed myself under a leader, and I put discipleship. I became a student. A disciple is a student. Amen. A disciple is a student, and I became a student, and I allowed someone to teach me. So when you're saying, man, I want to be a disciple, you're saying, I want to learn. Teach me. Teach me how to read the word. Teach me how to study. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to preach. Teach me how to fast. Teach me how to evangelize, because I want to be a disciple. I want to learn. Amen. And that's how we have to be. We have to want to be a disciple, because that's how we get trained. I remember when I first got married, right when we got married, we moved straight into pastor's house, because we wanted to be discipled. We wanted to be trained. And I had the privilege of living with them for about 4 years of my salvation. And to be able to live with your pastors, it's just on-hand training, daily discipleship. And it's like, man, it's different. It's what I desired, you know, and God opened up an opportunity for me to be discipled. And I placed myself under different leaders, and I was accountable. Being accountable meaning is that your life is open to your leader. You know, you're telling your leader, man, whatever, guide me, you know. You're saying, man, I want to be transparent. Tell me if I'm wrong, you know. And another thing I want to add with that is that sometimes when we're transparent with our leader we get corrected, you know, we get what we call rebuked. I know some of us go around and we're like, oh, I don't want to get rebuked, or so-and-so rebuked me, or oh my gosh, I got rebuked, or whatever. But a rebuke is out of love. If your leaders don't rebuke you, then they don't care. They do not care if they don't rebuke you. You know, if you place yourself as a disciple, which I pray that tonight we all make that decision to be disciples, because it's important, amen. That's how we're going to learn, you know, that's how we're going to grow. And when we get corrected, it's to help grow us, amen. It's to help teach us. And I remember being scared to be rebuked because I've always gotten talked down upon. So I never wanted to disappoint my leaders. I always wanted to do things right. I was scared to get talked to. I didn't want to be corrected. But I remember that my pastor's wife said, it's okay, get in trouble. It's okay, we still love you. And I learned that. And I opened my life for my leaders to rebuke me. And I take it and I receive it and I don't give an attitude, because I know that God is doing something in my life, amen. And that's the attitude that we need to carry, because in order for us to get sent out as missionaries, in order for us to become these great leaders, we have to be discipled. And that comes with correction. It comes with learning our values, and we need to know that, amen. Thirdly, I'm gonna go ahead and be a little bit faster. Sorry. Thirdly, I became an armor bearer, and an armor bearer is someone who bears their leader's armor, amen. Meaning that you catch their back. Amen, that you're right there, like, ready, you know, you're right there. Whatever you need, Pastor, Sister Veto, I'm right here. Whatever you need me to do, you know, whatever you need me to say, if you need me to, you know, go across the island and go get something, I'll do it, you know, because you're an armor bearer. And sometimes we mistaken armor bearers, because sometimes people think, like, oh my gosh, she just does whatever they do. No, but because an armor bearer is someone special, amen. An armor bearer is an honorable position to have, you know, when we're armor bearers to our leaders. And in Samuel, there's an awesome story about Jonathan and his armor bearer. You guys can read that later, but it says how Israel was losing the battle against the Philistines, but Jonathan wanted to do something about it. So he told his armor bearer, come on, let's go over there and let's fight the enemies. I'm paraphrasing the story. And he said, let's go, let's do this. And then the armor bearer said, do all you have in mind. I am with you heart and soul. And we need to be like that. We need to be like that. If we're in it, let's be like that. I'm here heart and soul. You know, I'm going to be here and do my best. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see more souls get saved. And tonight as we stand, amen. I know that the process, sometimes it gets tough. It gets hard. Sometimes we get stuck in this chair and we try to get up, and we're trying to go towards Jesus, trying to get discipled, trying to find a way, a solution or an answer. And sometimes we get distracted along the way. And sometimes it's like, man, I could barely make it there. But you know what? God still called you. God still, the process, it's not going to be easy. No one said it's going to be easy. You know, it's going to be hard at times. It's going to be hard. But you know what? God has called us. And he's called us to do great things. And those great things that he's called us to do, it's going to take a fight. It's going to take pressing in. It's going to take, you know, crying. It's going to take getting corrected. It's going to take different things taking place, different issues being revealed. It's going to take healing. It's going to take a lot of things, surrendering, dying to yourself, dying to your old ways, you know, taking off that old sinful nature. It's going to take that. It's going to take all that. But you know what? In the end, we're going to be where God wants us to be. We're going to be right here, you know, serving God, carrying our cross, right here in the front lines. Man, Pastor, I got your back. Matt, I got your back. Vic, I got your back. Sunny, Crystal, you know, Regina, Salita, I got your back. Victory Outreach, you know what? I'm here. I'm here to win it. I'm here in it, you know? I'm here. I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to give up because the process is hard or because I can't shake off these things. No, I'm going to be discipled. I want to be a disciple. You have to want it. And tonight, as they go ahead and sing the worship song, I want you guys to close your eyes, and I want you guys to think, to figure out what chair are you in tonight? Are you here stuck in the world? Are you here, you know, in it, not in it, not knowing what to do? Do you strive? Do you want to be here where Jesus wants you to be? Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus to show you what chair you're in.